Think we're ready to rock? Welcome to our October 2025 podcast. You might be noticing a little bit of a change here with the panel, if you will. Just want to bring to your attention, James Walsh has moved on to some other opportunities. We certainly wish him the best and all the success that he'd be due. But look, we got important work here. So want to introduce Carly Purcell, who's been my wonderful partner and boss for many, many years. Right, Carly?
Going on 14.
My gosh, it's been that long.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's about time we got her on the podcast here. And many of you have probably spoken to her on the phone or in some sort of capacity. So we're just happy that she freed up a little bit of her time today. Thank you, Carly.
And as always,
yeah, you bet. As always, we got Derek on the mic over here as well.
Yep. It was a good packed full of things in October, right? A birthday, anniversary, and a lot of market data. So why don't we just kind of jump right into the market update?
Man. Hey, it was another good month. And I tell you what, the consecutive back-to-back positive movements in the market, it sets us up for something, and that word is volatility. So before we start to really get into the month of October, let's just understand that when things are this good, the market needs to test itself. So don't be surprised to see some of that. But anyway, the month of October delivered a positive 2.27% return for the S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S., as measured by market capitalization, so that's size. The interesting thing about that is when you look at the S&P 500, it has kind of a rebalancing mechanism right within it. Think about it. If you are if all of a sudden you're that 500th company and you slip in size, your share price goes down, and the company that was directly behind you has an appreciation, well, guess what? We just swapped those two. So the S&P 500 does change its constituents, and there are also some requirements to be the S&P 500. We like to focus on it because it's a very broad gauge of market, you know, movements. So like the Dow Jones Industrial, a lot of people refer to that, right? It's 30 companies, 30 large stocks. So the S&P 500 is going to be a much broader index for us to look at. All right, so that's the equity market, stock market. The bond market, as represented by the aggregate bond index, was also up 0.62%. This has been nice. Bonds have been choppy, really, for the last 5 years. You know why? Interest rate volatility, inflation volatility. But you're finally getting some at the interest rate setting authority, the Federal Reserve. You're starting to get some relief where they're actually cutting rates, and that's something that we'll unpack for the month of October. So again, positive across the board for kind of both sides of the portfolio. The aggressive investors may not even have bonds in the portfolio, but they do offer us some diversification that is important and a fixed income stream. So October was another good month. But realize, not every month is good. So the portfolio didn't need to make a whole lot of moves in the portfolio. We like to kind of unpack what our strategy is. We do have some in the sights that we will pull the trigger on into next month, I believe. We'll unpack that once we get to the November podcast, but we're excited about just a few little changes. You know, it's a ever-changing landscape and backdrop. You know, we lean into the turns. We don't jerk the wheel. We lean into the turns. We seek opportunity and try and hedge away risk. So, you know, we're always busy with that. So anyway, before we get too far down the road into the market stuff, and Derek, I know you're chomping at the bit, while we've got Carly here, why don't we talk to her about some of the things that have been on your desk, you know, here recently. One of those would be that's been keeping you busy. We sent out a letter to our clients talking about a move we're making kind of on the back end. One of our providers, if you will, is changing. So maybe you've heard the name GeoWealth out there. This is somebody who is going to be helping us with our trading. So when you think about, I'm talking about making moves in a portfolio next month. Well, how do we do that? How do we get that done for clients? We have to trade, right?
Correct.
And so one of the things that is really important for us is obviously just the regulatory environment, but also just making sure that clients don't, you know, one client gets an execution trade of a price, excuse me, of, you know, one number, and then the next client gets something else. I'll give you an example. Manage a lot of money. Well, what if the market started to realize, hey, this ticker is getting sold and there's a lot of volume coming through, and they start to short that. And so if clients that started selling earlier had better price execution, market recognizes what you're doing, and starts to try and front run your trade. And by the time client later down the road gets an execution, it's a different price. You can't have that happen. Then everybody's got different performance data. So what we do are batch orders. And so the purpose for this GeoWealth is allowing us to get what we feel is going to be much better service for our clients from an execution standpoint. You know, it doesn't change costs for clients, anything like that. But the letter that we send out speaking to power of attorney and speaking to another advisor, although very minimal, there's attorneys that write these things and we have to get that out in front of our client base. But, you know, how have the calls been going on that?
We have started to get quite a few calls on it just because the term power of attorney, I think it's fear of the unknown. It frightens people a little
bit.
Right. Nothing to be scared of. Advanced Capital did initiate this request. It is a real email and or letter you're receiving.
Right.
But again, if you have any questions, just call our office and we can put to bed any fears you have.
Love it.
And there, and at the end of the day, nothing changes on the client end. This is all back end stuff, changing vendors out.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, to try to, again, give our clients the best kind of support that we can.
And there is an element of responsibility and acting that GeoWealth will do when they determine this is best execution for a trade, but it's at our direction. Nothing is changing. Advanced Capital is managing your money. Nobody else is in this picture. So anyway, I think we can move on. This isn't the only time something like this has happened. Obviously, we are always trying to improve and deliver to our clients the best experience possible. So anytime we see an opportunity for that, we're going to jump on it. So anyway, very good, Carly. Thank you. Thinking about as we wind the year down, one of the things that we tend to get scrambling into at the last minute are Roth conversions and required minimum distributions. So, you know, Roth conversions, think about it. If you've got some room in a lower tax bracket, you're taking IRA money, paying the taxes on it now and moving that into a Roth IRA, and the future growth that you would achieve inside of that Roth IRA theoretically would be tax-free as long as you just adhere to a couple different rules. So that has to be done by the conversion?
That has to be done before the calendar year is up. So
right.
12/31.
But you would prefer people get these directions into us.
Correct. Ideally, Schwab is requesting all transactions occur early December, 12/1 being their soft deadline.
Right.
They just don't want to have a mad scramble at the end of the year.
So please don't make me ask Carly to pull any strings, call in any favors, which she can do, but we don't like to ask of her. So anyway, and then those RMDs, the required minimum distributions. This has been a bit of a moving target for those who are, you know, down the road a little bit and have an IRA, you know, whether it started when you're 70 and a half, 73, or you're expecting it at 75. The IRS requires that you take at least a minimum amount out, assuming that you meet those age demographics. And that has to be done by the end of the year as well. You know, we work hard to get that done prior to kind of that last minute, but we are coming upon that. So, you know, be careful. One other thing that Carly does a great job for everyone is reminding us of our beneficiaries and to consult with clients about your beneficiaries. It's something that life changes. Things happen, but you got to stay on top of your beneficiaries. We could work really hard protecting and producing with your portfolio. But in the end, if it doesn't reach its you know, assumed final destination where you intended, well, I don't know that that's called success. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it? Any advice just with checking beneficiaries?
I think it's always a good thing to check your beneficiary when you're meeting with your rep or have a phone call. It's kind of something that we put in the back of our mind, and you might honestly not even remember who you listed.
Right.
And life has a lot of changes that can pop up, so always a good thing to check.
It's like a mini estate plan that you don't have to pay an attorney for.
And I was going to say that even if it's a contingent beneficiary, right, maybe you've created a trust recently, we'll make that, you know, a contingent beneficiary where you keep the primary, the spouse, right? I mean, there's different nuances and planning tools that we can use, but that would be a reason to update beneficiaries, even on the contingent side.
Right.
Not
and it
the
all,
primary.
It all starts with a conversation.
Absolutely.
So, well, thank you, Carly. That's all good stuff. Anything you want to add to that?
One topic that kind of goes on the same wavelength as the required minimum is we have some clients who like to do charitable contributions. Yep. So those are also required by that 12-1 deadline. And that's just to confirm that Schwab will get it done before year end.
Right.
We can process later than that, but we're trying to, again, not have a mad rush towards the end of the year.
Yeah. And so what Carly's speaking to is qualified charitable distributions. You can send a piece of your required minimum distribution to a charity and have that be tax-free. So all good stuff. Cool, cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, should we jump into something that is more market-focused at this point? It's kind of hard for me to gear back, but these are all important things that we just went through. So I don't know.
Good to get some of those housekeeping things, you know, in order as we enter the final quarter of the year. So it's great to, you know, have Carly with us and you know, kind of switching gears. Again, October has kind of been a pretty packed month. You know, we've had this government shutdown. We've had some U.S.-China relationship, you know, maybe issues and a lot of economic data coming out. So, Ryan, can you know, kind of speak to, you know, the prolonging of the government shutdown and the impact that we're starting to see on the capital markets here?
So what you're describing is a month filled with headlines. And sometimes what happens is we always have to point to something in the headlines that would explain why the market did one thing or the other. You do realize that it's just human nature to want to have an answer for a question that you have. Why did the market do this today? Well, we just go to these headlines and point to them and say, well, it's because of this or that. But let's face it, headlines are catalysts. And what catalysts are market moving, you know, communications. And so what Derek just described were kind of the hit points for the month of October. Remember when we talked about government shutdowns, and really for the last 30 years, the market's been able to handle them pretty well. In fact, the last five, the market has delivered a positive return. As of the end of October, we don't have a government that's reopened. So, but the market's weathering pretty well. So I think that the tune remains the same. I think that it will be a positive catalyst when you do see the market open, recognizing markets often take the most ironic path. So it wouldn't shock me if maybe the reaction, the market could kind of go anyway. But on balance, reopening the government is important. And why is that? Because the government has been the largest provider of liquidity and stimulus to our markets for really, I mean, it's been a decade. It's been about a decade at least. And, you know, when you look at what that is, it's this fiscal spending, deficit spending, that just, again, it depreciates and devalues the dollar. And that's what pushes asset prices higher. So when you've got the biggest kind of driver of that liquidity closed for business, it can kind of choke up the system a little bit. So markets haven't reacted to that yet. But there's probably some digestion there. So let's get the government open. That would be great. Seems like the right thing to do. In the month of October, we saw China and U.S. trade tensions kind of reignite with China was talking about restricting rare earths. And also the things that go, like magnets are a big thing. Some of the different things that especially go into batteries and electronics. If they throttle back what they're willing to send out into the world, obviously that creates problems. But I believe that there was a meeting, South Korea was where Trump and President Xi got together. They hashed out some decent terms for a framework for, you know, I guess another China trade deal that hopefully we can reach from a resolution standpoint pretty quickly. But the market was able to dismiss that after the Trump-Xi meeting. Now, the litany of economic data points that we saw in the month of October, the irony in it all is that's it. This is what we got. This is the last of what we got till the government reopens. Because who's collecting the data and issuing the reports on all the economics? The government, right? So we'll get September data. And September data delivered, you know, reasonable inflation numbers, actually a very robust consumer. Jobs market's a little bit harder to put your finger on, but I think that the market probably gets a little concerned when there's no visibility to that economic data. So that's one of the things that is kind of interesting as we move forward. I hope we can get this government open soon.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. So all of those things are good and bad, but Let's keep going.
Yep. Nope. A lot of data, and a lot of people are counting on it. So, you know, kind of switching gears from, you know, kind of the equity sleeve. Let's kind of talk about interest rates. Yeah. The Fed made a hawkish move here in October. Yeah. You want to elaborate on that one?
Well, the irony in that is hawkish move, but they cut. You know, anytime you hear the, you've got fiscal policy and monetary policy. Fiscal policy is acts of Congress. They can be stimulative or slow an economy down. And then you've got monetary policy, which is like interest rate setting and, you know, the Fed's balance sheet, stuff like that. When the Fed is dovish, it means they're stimulative. When they're hawkish, it means they're trying to constrict the economy. So Derek just said a hawkish cut, kind of an oxymoron. What it is a interest rate cut, and then the messaging from the chairperson of the Federal Reserve speaks to hawkish tone. So yeah, we're cutting rates, but we're concerned about inflation. And a December cut is not necessarily a, you know, something that everyone can just assume will happen. Data needs to roll in. And that's exactly what Jay Powell said in the month of October. Mark's not going to like that because the market was pricing in a pretty high percentage chance of a December rate cut. And one of the things that the Trump administration keeps talking about is Jerome Powell's replacement. Who's it going to be? Well, they haven't decided on that yet. So what is the market going to do? It's going to continue to listen to Jerome Powell. Now, to that end, you might not get the December rate cut. Now, a lot of things have to unwind because of that, right on down to the yen-dollar carry trade, which, I mean, it's crazy to think that it has such ripple effects. But even just that one, perhaps we miss that December rate cut, it really can kind of create some issues. So I think that this will start to burn off a little bit once Trump would name the replacement to Jerome Powell. And, you know, I mean, whatever. Is it political? I don't know. We're not here to debate that. But what we know is that whomever Trump's going to pick probably is going to want lower rates. And so the minute that we know who that is, all of a sudden the market will start to focus on their messaging and less on Jerome Powell. But to Derek's point, month of October, we got a cut, but we got a hawkish message. Yep. Yeah.
Well, again, kind of moving forward on looking ahead, right? Hopefully an end to a shutdown. You know, what other things are we looking at? Maybe some potential moves in the portfolio coming up in early November. Right. What else can clients kind of anticipate as we look forward?
So, Carly, we always like to look ahead and think about what the market might bring in the next month. I mean, we got to get some volatility. And you're getting this late in the month here. Maybe you've already seen some of that. It would make sense that when you have unabated moves to the upside in the market, the market's got to come down and test and say who bought and who's really willing to hold on. So some of the catalysts that we just unpacked here in the podcast, I mean, that hawkish, Fed cut. It might very well be that kind of spills over. But some of the things that you started to see in the month of October, yeah, it was a robust month for the S&P 500. But not every index, not every ilk of stock had a tremendous month of October. So what does that mean? Breadth is narrowing. And that's usually indicative of some near-term weakness. One of the things that I've actually had a few clients ask me about is there's been some headlines about injecting capital into the banking system. Here I'm talking about an abundance of liquidity out there, a lot of dollars in the economy and stuff. But well, why would we need to inject into the banking system? Well, recognize that liquidity in the economy is different than what the banking system's job is to do. The banking system is there to kind of really short-term liquidity attributes and things like that. And there is a difference. But that injection of liquidity, it creates a bad headline. And if maybe misinterpreted, you might look at that as a sign of stress. But I think that if you really unpack what's happening, it's actually more stimulative than not. And it's just lubricating the banking system so that they don't run into, you know, some bumps along the way that could be avoided. So we've got that. But, you know, when you think about seasonality, so as we get towards the end of a year, markets tend to do pretty well, from a seasonal perspective. And there's a lot of stimulus out there. So welcome the volatility. because after all, markets need volatility to be healthy. But recognize the backdrop is still robust. I think we can be confident and convicted in a continued path forward here, always recognizing that things can change on a dime. And guess what we'll do? Change on a dime too. So we'll plan to see you next month, month of November. And thanks for spending some time today.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as a formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.